This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The blizzard that's been pummeling the Sierra Nevada has now knocked out power to tens of thousands of customers. Up to 10 feet of snow could fall in some higher elevations. Lead scientist Andrew Schwartz at UC Berkeley's Central Sierra Snow Lab.
We're looking at snowfall totals that could be upwards of 4 to 5 feet in a single day, and that's what makes this one so unique.
CBS's Carter Evans is in Truckee, California.
This is the last spot truckers can chain up before making the drive up over Donner Summit, and it'll be slow going.
Several ski resorts are closed under avalanche warnings. And authorities across the Sierra Nevada are also preparing for collapsed roofs, downed trees, and power lines.
Officials are running out of adjectives to describe the devastation wrought by the largest wildfire in Texas history. Governor Greg Abbott says the damage in the panhandle is extensive.
There are about 400 to 500 structures that have been destroyed. There's no way to say for certainty that's going to be the final number, because there's still the ongoing assessment process.
Higher temperatures and stronger winds forecast for today have a lot of people worried that the fire will spread. The U.S. will coordinate with Jordan to airdrop food and supplies into the Gaza Strip soon. CBS's Weijia Zhang at the White House on President Biden's announcement.
President Biden announced the decision to carry out airdrops just days after more than 100 people were killed when Israeli troops opened fire on a crowd surrounding trucks delivering aid in Gaza City.
Aid flowing to Gaza is nowhere nearly enough. Now it's nowhere nearly enough. Innocent lives are on the line and children's lives are on the line, and we won't stand by.
The White House says food aid will be a top priority amid warnings from the UN that Gaza is on the brink of famine.
Four astronauts to launch from the Kennedy Space Center to the International Space Station just after 11 tonight.
Dr. Michael Barrett is making his third flight and says he's enjoyed mentoring three rookie crewmates.
I love watching people experience spaceflight for the first time.
This is Barrett's second long-duration station mission, and he says he's excited about performing a slew of medical experiments.
Big integrated package of studies that look at the human in space. And I'm very much looking forward to that, because some of these experiments I was either helping on or helping to integrate together. And so now I get to experience it from the other end.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The astronauts will be staying on the space station for 6 months. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. President Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza is costing him votes from Muslim, Arab American, and pro-Palestinian communities, if the results of the recent Michigan primary are any indication. More from Farah Siddiqui.
More than 100,000 people voted uncommitted in Michigan's presidential primary. An exit poll of over 500 Muslim voters was conducted by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. CARE's Government Affairs Director Robert McCaw says 94% of American Muslims who voted in the Democratic primary voted uncommitted.
It's a clear sign that our communities are organized. We're a political force in these states and other swing states, and we can tip the results in any election when it counts.
The exit poll found that potential third-party candidates are polling better than Biden, and if an election was held today, 40% of Muslim voters would prefer an unnamed other candidate. The poll also found 13% might vote for GOP frontrunner Donald Trump. The Biden administration has faced significant protests in Michigan. According to McCaw, the initiation of the Vote Uncommitted campaign was in protest of the president's reluctance to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. He says these voters weren't bluffing.
It's noteworthy that potential third-party candidates such as Dr. Cornel West are polling better than Biden with Muslim voters, while others like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Jill Stein are polling evenly with the president.
In response to the protest vote, Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud wrote on social media, "Today, thousands said enough. As American citizens and Michigan voters, we have made our voices heard at the ballot box. Now it is up to President Biden to listen to Michigan and do the right thing." I'm Farah Siddiqui. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alba. Monday, noon to 2, we'll preview the Super Tuesday primary and more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, a low near 40 degrees. Windy out of the south on your Sunday pushes our high temperatures into the mid 60s. For Monday, chance of rain, a high near 49 and near 50 for Tuesday and Wednesday with sun.
It's 30 at our studios.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba here at WRCE in Richland Center, the old hometown, along with Mr. Zommers, our outstanding and recovering producer, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square at the world headquarters. It is a Friday, TGIF. On this 1st of March, 2024, now 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. And Mr. Zommers, look who we have joining us here on the stream and, of course, on the audio as well. The station manager, the host of the morning show, also the morning music show here at WRCO, also the play-by-play of high school sports, also the host of Those Were the Days, Philip James Nee, how are you?
That looks, yeah, it doesn't fit on the business card. Oh, the crowd's going wild.
The crowd's going wild. Yes, we travel with our own crowd.
hey, thank you very much.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. This is an exciting time of year. We're all abuzz with the playoffs going on in basketball, and we have a really good game in the area tonight. Ithaca plays at North Crawford in boys basketball. Both teams have won 21 games this year.
Wow.
And just by the strength of the regional and the sectional, they're playing in the second round. So
that's incredible.
It'll be a great game.
Winner takes all.
That's right. Moves on at least till tomorrow night.
Right. Well, it is a great time of year. You brought up Ithaca doing great in basketball. But, of course, we're coming up on baseball season as well. And you and Henry Bray had that great call last year at the state championship where Ithaca came back from how many runs down was it?
They were 7-0 down, yeah. And they were down in the seventh inning by 3 or 4. So, yeah, came back to win it.
I mean, just a great, great call, great game. And I think that's one of the things we like to talk about to people across the state. You know, for listeners in Waukesha or Milwaukee or even Madison, you know, you're focused on that level of high school sports, which they're great athletes, but also here in the rural parts of Wisconsin, also just some great athletes, some great programs with some rich history as well.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, Todd. I know that, you know, you sometimes get a little political on your show.
But
sports is the thing that brings us together.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we can disagree, but we root for the youngsters. We want to see them do well. And especially here in the rural area, the school is the center of the community.
Right.
And so everybody comes out. I mean, tonight at this big game, they're going to shut the street light off when they go to the game because there's nobody going to be left.
Well, you bring up a great point. And not to get into politics, but just what it is like. I mean, I grew up here. You grew up here. And, you know, I mean, you went to Ithaca. I went to Richland Center, which are connecting school districts. But I've quite frankly, on the show, use Ithaca as an example. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this is Wisconsin Public Schools Week. Mm-hmm. And in a place like Ithaca, the public school is the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And everything that goes on there, you know, the community supports, whether not mm-hmm. only sports, but whether it's a music concert or an art show or whatever the case might be, they come out and support the school and the youngsters. And
yeah.
So it's just really fun to follow it. Last night we had a girls basketball game on, and it's sectional level for them. So mm-hmm. tomorrow's wins will put them at the state in at the Resch Center in Green wow. Bay next week. But we had a girl last night from Argyle-Pecatonica. Her name is Kylie Butler. She went over 1,000 points in her high school career, and she's a sophomore.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that. I mean, this is like maybe an up-and-coming Caitlin Clark yeah. from Iowa. I mean, I saw that, and I said, that can't be right. She's only a sophomore. She's got about 500 points this year alone.
That is incredible. Yeah. Brady and I just talked about Caitlin Clark for a couple minutes last segment, and you're right. I mean, there are so many young women who are exceeding their sport as well and a great role model for younger girls, just like a lot of the guys are for younger boys.
So. Right. By the way, thanks for having Brady on earlier because, you know, two great athletes from Richland Center here on, you know, the same show.
Well, I mean, it's a little, you know, my dad, Jim Allball, used to teach
yep.
and coach with the late, great Elroy Pampu from yep. Ithaca, who I know is your coach.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I had your dad for like third grade, Fayette.
Did you really?
I sure did. Absolutely.
I don't know that I've ever known you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
You drive the little blue van to Sextonville and teach Fayette, you know, whether it be trying to think what we did down there for Fayette,
gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
Probably drop the handkerchief or whatever it was.
Well, there's some, and I think it is replicated across every Wisconsin public school. Oftentimes, it's the teachers and the staff who are both the characters who are entertaining, but also the great educators that you remember things years later.
Yeah, you really do. And I had so many great ones and am so fortunate. And there were some along the way, you know, we grew up with the old coaches and things like that. In today's world, they would not last 5 minutes at their job, and they would be the superintendent would be coming in and say, "Do you have a minute?"
Right. I know for you it was Elroy Pampu. For me, it was Avitus Riff.
Oh boy,
they're wonderful
legends,
guys. Right? Legends from a different era, and you know some of the things that ways that they coached probably you couldn't do today.
No,
but
I mean,
it doesn't make it wrong.
No, if there wasn't a bone sticking out, you're going back in the game. You know,
that was Avitus Riff. He used to say, you know, geez, he goes, you know, if there's not a bone sticking out, I'm not coming out there.
Exactly.
And we were down at a game at River Valley in Spring Green, about 30 miles from here. I was a manager, folks. Unlike Phil, who was actually an athlete, I was a manager. And so one of the players one time had an injury, and my buddy Jeff and I, the managers, ran out there, and we immediately came back. We're like, coach, you got to come out. And Rip starts coming on the field. He goes, if there's not a bone, we're like, coach, it's a compound fracture. He goes, oh, geez.
Oh, oh, okay.
Oh, geez.
You got one more play in you, though? Come on.
Right. Put some dust on it, Christ. I mean, but the thing is, I never obviously met Vince Lombardi, but to me, all the stories, they were so similar in that when they were coaching, they were just into it and they just were aggressive. But boy, you get them in the classroom or around, they were teddy bears.
Yeah, they were.
And they cared about all their players and the people, the community.
Yep, absolutely. And one of Avitus Rip's strong points was the fact that, you know, he taught Fayette, but he was always rooting for the underdog. So it was a student that maybe they weren't out for sports.
Yes.
He didn't have them on the football team, but he was trying to pick them up and build them up. And I think that was the attributes of some of those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're just, like you say, they were legends and tell old. I'm sure that can be replicated to every public school across Wisconsin. Everybody knows somebody like that.
Sure. It's going to be interesting to see as time goes by if you're going to see those teachers and coaches last for 40 years.
Exactly
as many have, because there are some legends that have.
Yeah.
Jerry Pettigrew just retired from basketball last year at Cuba City. He's assistant coaching at Galena this year.
Oh, is he really?
Right. But, yeah, his first game as a high school coach was canceled because of the Kennedy assassination.
Wow.
So that's how far back he went. Yeah, November 22nd of 63, his game was canceled, his first game because of the assassination. So.
And for those who might not know, Cuba City is in far southwest Wisconsin, just kind of near the Platteville area down in there.
And you'll see Jerry during the state boys basketball coverage. He's usually one of the coaches they have on as an analyst.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely fantastic. Phil also hosts Those Were the Days, a great oldies program. If you've never heard it, you can listen to it via the Civic Media app on WRCO, Country and Community. Just scroll down on the app down there. The app is free. Download it on your Apple or Android device. Phil goes from 6 until midnight. You still take callers. People can make requests. You give away prizes. What's coming up on Those Were the Days this weekend?
Well, we're going back to the year of 1984 tomorrow. And
I remember that year.
Do you remember? Yeah, you probably are old enough to remember that. Going back to some vinyl and some songs that I played as I was a mighty mobile DJ in the 1980s.
Really? Yeah.
And they'd get kind of wild, and they'd dance too close to my turntables and make the record skip. And be like, please don't dance so close to the speakers, you know, so you'd have to move back and things like that. But, so we're going to reminisce a little bit about 84 and, again, requests. And it's so good to get feedback from the listeners. And sometimes we get talking about nostalgic things like back in the day when you could call after 6 o'clock and your long distance rates were cheaper, you know, and things like that. Nobody even knows that anymore, but it's true.
Don't call long distance.
Exactly. And I had a girlfriend that lived like 3 miles away, but it was long distance.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. So my mom would say, you better not be calling long distance again. It'd be like $1.75 at the end of the month on their phone bill, but they were mad. Do you know what you rang up last month? Oh man.
No, my grandparents lived about 12 miles up on Highway 8 or Highway 56 towards, Gillingham, out that area. And, you know, it was like, well, if you're going to call Granddad and Grandma, make it quick. Because it was long distance.
And the other way to cheat the system was the old payphone. You know, you didn't have to use a quarter. You could dial the number and it would ring and they'd say, hello. You'd be like, come pick me up, you know. Or whatever your message was.
Or the collect call. You know,
yeah.
I have a collect call. I need a ride right now.
Yeah. I'm not accepting those charges.
Did you ever do a collect call?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, did. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I had to do that quite a lot, especially as a starving college student, you know. That was really bad if they didn't take your call,
right?
Mom and Dad.
Right.
We don't want to talk to
you. Did you ever have someone not accept your charges?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah, actually, and doing interviews here at the station, like with sports people and music people, a lot of times they would call collect because they'd be at a hotel somewhere, and you know they wouldn't want to rack up a charge on their room or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. See, so younger people. Zomers, do you even know what a collect call is?
Yes, I do.
Very good.
Good.
But see, you don't have to worry about these are problems that guys of a certain age, people of a certain age have. You just now it's all the cell phone. It's all just a monthly charge.
It was my only chance to talk to a woman if I talked to the operator. You know, hey.
Phil getting hot and heavy with Janet, the operator. Come dial my number.
Yes.
Oh, Phil Nee, you're fantastic. Anything else? I got a couple minutes left here before the break. Anything else hot happening that people should know about at WRCO Richland Center?
Not that I can think of. Just it's been incredible weather, as you know. And and I you mentioned Ithaca and you mentioned baseball. And I can tell you that the first game that I broadcast this year, it will not be as nice as it is today. It'll be snowing. It's the pitch. Swinging him.
Right?
Jeepers. It will. It's people talk about football and how cold it is. Yeah. It can't hold a candle to spring in Wisconsin trying to call a baseball or softball game. Yeah, you just freeze.
They are terrible.
That wind never lets up.
My feet always used to just be like, you know, even I could put wool socks on and boots, I'd still freeze.
Doesn't matter. Yep. Yeah,
it's we appreciate all you do. And of course, you got Chad Holmes up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio WXCO, and you got Don Brown down WAUK. So across Civic Media, all you guys who are bringing us high school sports across Civic Media, we really, really appreciate it because, again, that is one of Civic's main missions is to do the hometown radio. And nobody does it better than WRCO and Phil Nee.
Thank you very much, Todd. Always a pleasure.
A pleasure to have you. Thank you very much. We're live here in the RC. WRCE, WRCO, back after this. It's the Todd Allball Show live on a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live from Richland Center, the RC, not the OC, Eric Hovde, but the RC, Richland Center, Wisconsin, keeping it real in the Driftless in the Southwest. Thank Brady Ewing. Thank Phil Nee. Always a pleasure to have them on the program. What great guys, right, Mr. Zommers? I mean, can you understand when you spend 20 minutes with Phil Nee, can you understand how as a kid, you know, having somebody like that as a mentor, you can't help but fall in love with radio.
Oh, absolutely. I can totally get it. You know, and it's kind of like, as a almost a kid, having a mentor of somebody like Todd Alba. It helped me fall in love with radio.
I'm no Phil Nee, that's for sure, but I appreciate it. No, I think that's the key, right? And that's why, you know, again, not to blow too much of our own smoke here, but I think that's what Civic Media does really well is this hometown radio and focusing on people like Phil who've lived in the community for years. Chad Holmes, same way. Don Brown, same way. And, you know, when you're concerned about the community and you actually enjoy, I mean, I think you could tell whether it's Phil Nee or Brady Ewing, but, you know, Phil and I worked together for 17 years. When you actually enjoy the people that you work with and I mean, the way that we just talked right here, that's the same way we'd talk if we had a microphone in front of us or not. You know, That's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. So we appreciate everybody for joining us here in the RC today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 1:30, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World is in with a look at the wild and wacky that is human nature. These are things that are not made up. These are the crazy things that real people do each and every day. Peter Rapine will be in from EPOM's World to give us the 411 on that. So looking forward to that. Wanted to just touch on a little bit of politics here before we get to Peter, and wanted to talk a little bit about good old Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. So when it comes to America providing more military aid for Ukraine's battle to save its democracy, House Speaker Mike Johnson, same old man out amongst the political leadership in Washington, D.C. Johnson knows a majority of representatives would in fact pass the National Security Supplemental Bill to aid Ukraine, but he's blocking it, blocking the vote on orders from the Trumpster, Donald Trump, and mega extremists in the House. This week, Johnson told Sean Hannity of Fox News about a meeting in which the rest of the political leaders in Washington told him he was on an island, said he was on an island by himself in opposing military aid. Johnson said, and I quote, "What the liberal media doesn't understand, Sean, is that if you're here in Washington and you're described as a leader that's on an island by themselves, it probably means you're standing with the American people," unquote. All right. But an Associated Press NORC NORC poll released yesterday shows that it is not Johnson, but the others at the meeting who are, in fact, standing with the American people. According to this AP NARC poll, 74% of Americans, including 62% of Republicans, support aid to Ukraine's military. 62% of Republicans, 74% of Americans. After passing the continuing resolution yesterday, Congress getting out of town because, you know, they worked, what is it, a day and a half, 2.5 days, something like that. Busy work week for Congress this week and had to get out of town. Meanwhile, the war rages on in Ukraine. The evil empire that is Russia and Vladimir Putin continues to spread into Ukraine. And we shall see. Hopefully they can work on this bipartisan deal to get a Ukraine bill passed within the next week to 2 weeks. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. Steven in Green Bay. Steven, thanks for listening in. Happy TGIF. What's popping in Green Bay?
It is actually popping in Green Bay today. It's almost like it feels like summer outside. People are driving around. They don't want to be inside cooped up. So it has been busy today.
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
There's a couple things I want to say to you, Todd. First of all, I just kind of want to double back on civic media, and you in particular, just being, you know, not just a radio personality, but, you know, one of those guys you go to the bar and have a beer with. I've been calling into your show for quite a while, and they don't make many people like you, Todd. So thank you, and keep up the good work.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much, Steven.
I would like to say that I'm being gypped because I have to work eight-hour days, and I'm still living paycheck to paycheck. It's nice to know that all I have to do is get elected to Congress, and I can work 2 days a week, and I'm set for life.
Right?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's a cushy job if you can get it.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. And meanwhile, you've got Ukrainians who are hurting. You've got other people around the world that need help. You've got people right here in America, our own border guards at the border, who could be getting relief if not for Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And I think, what were your impressions, Stephen, yesterday, having both President Biden and former President Trump at the border on the same day? When Trump stands up there and criticizes, Biden stands up there and says, let's work together and get this done. I thought that was a pretty stark difference for my money.
Yeah, it is a stark difference. But it's the stark difference if you've really been looking at Biden's presidency and the campaign of Donald Trump. It has been two polar opposite ends of the spectrum. One guy has some compassion and he's focused on getting things done and uniting. I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard a president in this polarized of a time where he says, I'm the president for everybody. Even the people that want him dead, literally want him dead. I'm your president. I think that just speaks volumes about Joe Biden's character. And yeah. I don't think I should say much about Donald Trump's character at this point. I think we pretty much covered that. So you can say what you want about him, but he is a good person. So,
yeah. I agree with you, Stephen. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend up there, beautiful Green Bay, and enjoy your weekend, Stephen. Thanks so much for listening and calling in.
You too, Ted.
Thank you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. But a couple minutes left here before the bottom of the hour. And on the other side, when we come back, we have Peter Rapine from EPOM's World talking about all the things that are going on, all the kooky things that we as Americans and human beings do around the world, actually. That's what makes this segment so fun, is actual real stories of actual real people. Speaking of our phone number there, I know the other shows, what we're going to do is we're going to change over Monday. We're going to start with the new number. It's an 855 number, which means it gets 855 numbers get sent through Paducah, Kentucky. So we're going to be on the Paducah, Kentucky exchange, and this will be fantastic. Have you ever, Mr. Zomers, ever been to Paducah, Kentucky?
I've never been to any part of Kentucky.
Well, there you go. I've been through Kentucky several times. And look, over by, like, by Lexington, that area, beautiful, beautiful horse area, beautiful road. It reminds me a little of Southwest Wisconsin. Paducah, Kentucky, I'm sure they're all, the Paducah Inns are all fine people, but not a lot to do there. I once stayed at a Super 8 in Paducah, Kentucky on my way down to Florida.
Did you take any... hotline numbers? Did you field any phone calls?
None that I can talk about on the air. No.
Fair enough.
So next Monday, we'll have a brand new phone number for you. After this, we're going to come back with Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. Not going to want to miss it. Your news, weather, and sports starts now on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Snow can be beautiful, but it can also be dangerous. 10 to 12 feet will fall in higher elevations of the Sierra Nevada this weekend. Ryan Ochoa is a battalion chief with the Truckee, California Fire Protection District.
The wind can pick up kind of unannounced, and with the blowing snow that we're seeing, it can really make the roadway literally disappear in front of your eyes.
Volunteers with the Dallas-based group Texas on Mission are in the state's panhandle. They're trying to help the region recover from the largest wildfire in the state's history.
We bring water, we bring hygiene kits, we bring the niceties of life. When you lose everything, everything becomes precious.
President Biden says the U.S. will soon begin airdropping food and supplies into Gaza, but Israel has to help too.
We're going to insist that Israel facilitate more trucks and more routes to get more and more people the help they need.
The U.S. will coordinate with Jordan to drop supplies in the next few days. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
More changes for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where college players have been undergoing physicals and doing drills, except for USC quarterback Caleb Williams, who is expected to be the first pick by the Bears. Williams says, why share that information with other teams when you're number one overall? Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Journal reports that the Packers have asked the agent of running back Aaron Jones to agree to a restructured contract or possibly face being released in a couple of weeks. Running back A.J. Dillon is not expected to return and will become a free agent. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Overall, I think our team is in good shape. I think we have a very strong roster, but you know, nothing's set in stone in this league, and we're going to bring in as many guys as we can to be competitive. And I would imagine that our roster will look a lot different than it did last year, like it always does from year to year. And we're excited about that.
As Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, a low near 40 degrees. Windy out of the south on your Sunday pushes our high temperatures into the mid 60s. For Monday, chance of rain, a high near 49 and near 50 for Tuesday and Wednesday with sun.
It's 30 at our studios.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Our in-house Oompa Loompas doing the heavy lifting here on a Friday, TGIF, March 1st. Thank you, Mr. Somers. We appreciate it. Do the Oompa Loompas have an album out now? Is that what you were playing? What was that exactly?
That was Willy Wonka's welcome song from the Johnny Depp version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That Johnny Depp version.
Which, all you right. know, well, say what you will about that movie, but I think that that song is very funny.
It
Thank
is
you,
funny.
Danny Elfman.
We welcome in our recurring contributor here and our friend. We appreciate him so much when he takes time to stop by our show, the managing editor of EPOM's World. He is Peter Rapine. Mr. Rapine, always a pleasure. Happy TGIF, my friend.
TGIF, right back to you, Todd.
Thank you so very much. How you been? You took a couple of days off, well-deserved. Are you tan, rested, and ready?
Exactly, I am. I spent last week on a beach drinking Bloody Marys, reading books, and now I'm back in the cold weather of New York.
Can you share what beach that was, or you prefer not to?
No, yeah, I was in St. Martin. I was in the Caribbean.
Oh my gosh. See, I've been to Central America, but not the Caribbean. But I hear it's beautiful.
I mean, some of the best water you can swim in
really?
Anywhere. If I talk about it too much, I might start crying.
But I get it. Like I'm a big Kenny Chesney fan, and part of the reason is he talks about being in the Caribbean and the islands all the time, and I love that vibe. I mean, I'm one of the either the two places that I can be like most relaxed at probably are the hills of Southwest Wisconsin, where I'm at right now, and the ocean. And that's what I love.
Yeah, the ocean is my happy place. It was me and a ton of retirees just
really?
Getting loaded on beaches for a week. It was great. I was probably the youngest person by like 30 years.
But see, that could work to your advantage because usually those retirees, they just got pockets full of cash and they're like, I'll take care of the next round. And you don't have to buy a drink.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
All right, well, Peter Rapine, we always appreciate you coming because EPOM's World, and by the way, if you're not familiar what the world's wrong with you, it's a great website. It's E and then B as a boy, AUMS World, EPOMsWorld.com. And the reason that I love this segment so much, aside from the lovely and enchanting Peter Rapine, is the fact that you bring us stories of not satire, not fiction. These are real people doing stupid things.
Yes, we like to find the stranger than fiction. And there's a theme this week, and it's British people being weird, I guess you could say.
One of my favorite topics, by the way.
Yes, it's things in the UK is having its week in the spotlight. And our intro song is actually kind of the perfect song because the first story I want to talk about today is, and I'm sure many people have already heard about this, it's been everywhere, but there was a Willy Wonka event in Glasgow, Scotland, that was an absolute mess. Really? Our headline reads, "Kids left in tears after Willy Wonka experience resembles meth lab."
And resembles a meth lab. All right, Rapine, explain.
So the event, which cost $45, was promoted using AI, which you already know we're off to a great start when you hear that. The photos were really impressive. It was supposed to be this fully immersive event. But what happened was is when parents showed up and they brought their kids, they realized that it was the opposite of what has been advertised. And it was basically an empty conference room. hanger of some sort that was very shoddily put together. It was so bad that parents started calling the police of how underwhelming it was. and a story like this kind of touches the internet where, you know, it loves, right? Because it's comeuppance, it's parents freaking out, but also the photos that started to come out of the event were just so terrible that they were hilarious. There was a photo of this woman who's playing an Oompa Loompa, I assume, standing behind a counter, and she has these like tubes and test tubes and all this stuff, and there's like smoke billowing around her, and just the look on her face of pure depression because she applied for this job on LinkedIn or on Indeed and had no idea what she was getting herself into. And there's extended clips came out, and for the last 4 or 5 days is basically all Twitter has been talking about.
I've seen some of these photos, and again, you nailed it. It's all in the billing, right? They set the expectations, and they use this artificial intelligence and computer digital stuff, and so it looks like almost the movie or a version of the movie. It looks so. You think the kids are thinking, "Oh my gosh, I get to be immersed in the Willy Wonka world," and they're expecting. And again, maybe this is just the way that our movies are being made now. Mm-hmm. I mean. So the expectations on the billing, the marketing, were way high. That come and immerse yourself in Willy Wonka land. And they paid $45 and then?
They got scammed. Surprise, surprise. And the funny thing is that all the actors that were hired to play the Oompa Loompas, to play Willy Wonka, there was one character that played something called The Unknown, which I guess is actually a character from Roald Dahl's work, not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
But all of the actors all came out with TikToks and they had interviews because they were like, we did not know what we signed up for. We tried our best. Don't blame us. But now they've kind of become like internet celebrities in some odd way. Yeah.
That's incredible. And again, I mean, to do this to adults is one thing, but to set kids up, I mean, these were small kids when I saw, and I mean, they walk in, their expectations, their dreams are crushed, and their parents are stuck with a $45. I mean, I've seen a couple of the photos. It's beyond cheesy. I mean, it looks, one of the photos I saw was like a bed sheet with like a painting on it hung up by a couple of like, you know, clips. With you know, a really bad tree in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was terrible.
Absolutely terrible. Like, you probably couldn't make it funnier if you tried.
Right.
Like, you really had to try.
It'd be like kids are going to take you to see Santa Claus, and then it ends up being Billy Bob Thornton, you know, with a can of beer and a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah. And then characters in masks running around scaring children.
Right. Exactly. Not what you want for the kids.
Not what you want.
All right. So that was in Glasgow, Scotland. What else are the crazy British up to these days, Peter?
Yeah. So Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, has not been seen in a month or more. And usually the internet in the US on Twitter, we don't really care too much about the royals. Yeah, they have their following.
Right.
But people kind of jumped on this one and conspiracy theories started to swirl. So our headline on the site reads, Kate Middleton got a BBL? Conspiracy swirl around the disappearance of the Princess of Wales. Basically, someone went out and found the recovery time for the average BBL, which is 2 to 3 months, and tweeted it out saying Kate Middleton hasn't been seen about in 2 months now. What could possibly be the reason why? And then from there, you know, the conspiracies kind of snowballed, and it got so big that representatives for the princess came out and said, you know, she didn't get a BBL. Well, they didn't say that, but they hinted at it. They said she got a surgery a couple weeks ago, and we're not going to amend our timeline as to when you can expect her back in public. Just cool it and stop harassing us with these crazy claims.
And for those that might not know, BBL stands for a Brazilian butt lift.
Yes. Yes.
And so the rumors are the Princess of Wales got a butt lift.
Yeah.
And she's a lovely and beautiful person. You know, she doesn't need any work done.
No, but I mean, if she got one, she probably would look great with one.
Right. I mean, either way.
Either way. but that, it's a really great story of the internet kind of making a joke that gets so big to where the person that they're joking about can't ignore it.
Right.
Right.
When these rumors take over, where you actually have to address it. I mean, and again, the interesting part here is that this is not made up. That people perpetuated this, and that the royals actually had to make a comment on. No, actually, the princess did not get a butler.
I mean, how do I apply for that job? Be the PR person. Be like, maybe we should respond to this.
I mean, next, we're going to have prime minister's questions, right? I mean, where Rishi gets up and says, you know, contrary to my honorable gentleman's accusation, the princess, in fact, did not get a butt lift.
with the hair and the gowns and everything.
Right. All right. Well, I feel, you know, I mean, the royals have it pretty well, but I mean, no, you don't want rumors about you. So, I mean, and she doesn't deserve that. She's not looking for that. She's just trying to raise her kids and do the right thing.
Yeah. And hopefully whatever surgery she did have, you know, she's recovering well from. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What is next on This Week in the Wacky World from EPOM's World with Peter Rapine?
All right. Kind of in accordance with, you know, roasting people online, there was a lacrosse game this last week where a referee had an incident that you don't want to have literally anywhere, let alone refereeing a game.
Yeah.
A referee sadly pooped herself in the middle of a game, which is a situation that, like I said, you don't want to be in.
Right, you don't want to be in that situation.
No, but the only thing that could make it worse is one of the teams that was a part of the game roasted her on Twitter after the fact.
Now, that's terrible. That's just terrible, right?
It is. It's mean. It is mean-spirited and not funny at all. It's not funny.
Was this a high school game or a college game?
It was a college game. So anyone out there that goes to the University of Pittsburgh, whoever runs the Pitt lacrosse account is ruthless.
That's
and
terrible.
Deserves detention. Yeah.
I mean, who among us haven't, you know, eaten something bad and, you know, maybe not quite made it to the restroom a couple of times in our life?
Yeah. So, you know,
but it's particularly bad when you're on a sporting event like that.
Yeah. So the tweet reads from Pitt Lacrosse the day after the mishap, the pooping. The tweet reads, "What's that smell?" with a nose emoji.
Oh,
it's
God.
Jill French.
Who did that?
This is the Pitt Lacrosse. This is their tweet. It reads, "What's that smell?" It's a Jill French, which is one of their star players, stanky leg after her first goal of the season. And everyone saw this and was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I would hope that this team is going to get some sort of penalty. I mean, you can't do that to people, for goodness sake. I mean, it wasn't like
you shouldn't be able to.
No.
No.
I think the referee should be getting remunerations there.
Yeah, she deserves her 5 minutes for sure. Some form of exoneration for this ref. We're starting a petition at EBOM's World.
Are you really? Well,
I mean, maybe we will now, yeah.
I absolutely think you should. Because there's no place for meanness in the world like that. You know, the referee didn't do anything to her or to the team. She just had an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the cruelty of human nature sometimes.
Yeah, the cruelty of the internet, definitely.
Right? And and that's just, I mean, that's a great example of the internet can be a lot of good, but I mean, sometimes it's just out of control.
I think that's a good example of exactly that. And this next story, you also could say is an instance where something got out of control.
Right.
I'll read the headline and we'll get into it.
Give it to us.
New Mexico teacher sued after encouraging students to sword fight in class.
New Mexico teacher sued after encouraging students to sword fight in class.
Yes.
Is this what I think it is, Peter Rapine?
Sadly, it is exactly what you think it is. And even sadder, there is footage of it.
Good Lord. How what grade are these kids in?
I think they're high school students.
Oh, high school students.
Which, geez. To the student, not that I'm going to defend this teacher, but if I was 15 and a teacher said, hey, we're sword fighting today, I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand. Are you kidding me? Oh, of course. Yeah, please.
Some of us have a better sword than others, so speak for yourself.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back, talk more about this story and others with Peter Rapine from EPOM's World Don't Go Anywhere. It's TGIF for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the top of the hour news, weather, and sports, and then our colleague, the wonderful Maggie Dawn, takes over these airwaves for the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4. So stay tuned for that. Right now, we are pleased to have, as we do about every other week, our ongoing contributor and friend. He's the managing editor of EBOM's World. He is Peter Rapine. Always a pleasure as he stops by, not to give us things that are fictionalized, not to give us things that are written to be funny, but in fact, actual goofy things that real human beings do. So that's fantastic. Peter Rapine, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so very much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm glad you guys put up with me.
Put up with you? Come on now. It is always an absolute pleasure. We appreciate that. So before the break here, we're talking about an actual high school teacher who encouraged their students to pick up actual steel metal swords and have a sword fight. Now, was this a history class? I mean, do we know the context?
I'm not 100% sure what he was teaching. Oh, he was a chemistry teacher.
That's my first question. Right? Why is a chemistry teacher having swords in the classroom?
Hey, you know, some guys have hobbies.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so no, he passed around a katana and a rapier-style sword the kids, hey, have at it. Go for it. Have some fun.
And I have to ask, I mean, was anyone maimed? Was anybody severely injured here?
One student was permanently injured. They suffered some nerve damage on their wrist after had a slight cut. But nobody lost any limbs, I guess, you know, to his credit.
What, he lost any limbs? There's been no amputees in the chemistry lab today, thanks. Well, that's a win. How's your day going?
A flesh wound.
I mean, Bob's down in the teacher's lounge. How was class today? Well, nobody lost a limb, so we're fine.
Hey, yeah. Well, one of my students is great with a katana.
What was this? Florida? It had to be Florida. Do we know?
No, it was New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
New Mexico is like Florida's little brother, sort of.
The Southwest Florida of the United States.
Yeah.
All right. I know. So let's get to this big Mac. Was a big Mac story. We want to make sure we get to this one here.
Yeah. Okay. So your local Wisconsin. So this man, a lot of you Wisconsinites might know him. Don Gorsk has for a long time, probably 17. Maybe since the 70s, actually, he's had an obsession with Big Macs. I think at one point he was eating 3 Big Macs a day. This is a person that we of E-Bombs have tried countless times to talk to. He's never talked to us. He won't talk to us.
And he's from Fond du Lac. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
He recently broke the world record for the man who's eaten the most Big Macs. And he's eaten a total 34,000 Big Macs in his lifetime.
Oh, my gosh. There you go. A round of applause. 34,000. Now, who in the world could still function after 34,000 Big Macs? How is that even conceivably possible?
Only a man from Wisconsin.
From Fond du Lac. Yes. Now, look, we have a station in Oshkosh, which is not very far from Fond du Lac. Maybe we should go and try to do a show, and we'll do a joint EPOMS World All Ball Show, a joint thing, and we'll try to get this guy on, and we'll give him airtime. How about that?
It's a great idea. We'll buy him 100 burgers, see if we can, you know,
right?
Get him out from wherever he is, wherever he hides.
Are there photos of this guy?
Yeah, there are. There's videos. I mean, there's a photo of him that we have in the article.
I mean, not to be rude, but I mean, does he look like a guy who's eating 43,000 Big Macs?
He honestly doesn't. He looks pretty fit. That's He's got kind incredible. Of a funky haircut, you know, kind of an old school style. But, you know, the build looks like it's held up.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you hear about stuff like this, but to think it's not in Florida. It's right here in Wisconsin.
And to think about, I mean, 34,000 of anything is a lot, obviously. Right. But you really, really must love a Big Mac to be able to eat that many of them. For a while, like I said, he was eating 3 a day.
Oh, my gosh. 3 a day. I mean, I can't imagine the time that you'd have to spend in the restroom. Some of that processed stuff, I mean, it doesn't sit well, at least not with me.
Well, if you eat, you know, 30,000 McDonald's menu items, I'm sure probably after the 15,000 mark, your insides are just like slick, right? It's like it's like a slide, like the amount of plastic that's coating that guy's body.
A good point.
Those burgers really just kind of go out, right?
That's right.
You'd hope.
I mean, the chemicals inside your digestive tract by that point are just built up, right?
But then maybe, you know, he's doing something that the rest of us should be doing. Maybe he's going to outlive all of us. Maybe this guy's found the, you know, the elixir for life.
Well, I think you'd be better off by, you know, eating 34,000, you know, Culver's burgers. It's better food for you.
Well, there probably is a truth to how much McDonald's processes their food.
Right.
Like, because if you eat 30,000 legit, real, you know, burgers, it's probably going to be bad for you. Your cholesterol is going to be bad. Your heart's not going to be good.
Right.
It's probably in his favor that he is eating McDonald's because of how processed it is, right? What quality beef is he actually eating?
But the good news is he's still paying $9.99 a month for Colonial Penn. So, I mean, his family will be fine. So, I mean, nothing wrong with that. All right, got about a minute and a half here left, Peter Rapine. Dealer's choice. I'll let you choose our final story. What do you want to end with from EPOM's world this week?
All right, well, one of my favorite stories of the week, besides, obviously, Willy Wonka. So the CEO of Kellogg's went on CNBC recently.
Yes.
And was bragging about how more Americans now are eating cereal for dinner.
Yes. We talked about this on Monday, so I want your take on this. Yeah, this is fantastic. It's a great way to end the same way we began the week. What is your take on this, Peter Rapine? Well, is cereal okay for dinner?
I mean, if you're like, obviously eating whatever you want, as long as you're not eating 30,000 Big Macs for dinner, is fine. A 13-year-old kid, when I was 13, I loved eating Cheerios for dinner.
Yes.
I think eat whatever you want. I'm not going to tell anyone not to eat what they want.
Right.
But the interviewer in the segment gives him a chance to kind of talk about the realities of why people are eating cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO does not take the out. And he hedges it even harder, saying this is good for our business.
That's where he kind of tripped up, I think. But I'm with him. I just had a Wheaties for dinner a couple of nights ago. I did. I mean, look at Seinfeld. He made a career off of eating cereal on TV.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope if people are eating cereal for dinner, it's because they really love cereal and not because they can't afford 30,000 Big Macs.
Point well taken. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. Thank you so much, my friend. That's the Week in Review. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover. We are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Christopher.